Thank you for coming to the Lord's house this morning. You remember a few weeks ago, I made some comment or asked you a question. Just 1 minute, yeah. How many of you wanted your pastor selection committee to go look for a sorry preacher? Or a mediocre preacher? Or a good preacher? Or an excellent A number one preacher? I think everybody voted for the last. Well, you have a part in that. You have a part in that. And we're going to hand you a little booklet. And I want you to take it home with you. Now, we're going to use it as a part of the service this morning. And then you take it home with you. Put it with your Bible or your study materials, devotional materials. And refer to it from time to time. And I will explain some of these things as we go along. The very first thing you see as you open this booklet is a letter from the Pastor Search Committee addressed to you as a church, talking about the commitment that they are making to you as a church. And in the second paragraph, I want to say something. Studies have shown that the period of pastor search is the most crucial time in the life of any church. Rather than being merely a lame duck period, it is a time for us to draw especially close to God in surrender, prayer, and confident faith. I remember the very first church where I was an interim more than 50 years ago. They came to me and said, Pastor, I was just a seminary student then. I wasn't a pastor, I was just a seminary student. They said, Brother Ed, since our last pastor left, our church is falling apart. We need some help. And I went there and stayed for a while. And after several months, they did call a pastor and the church did well. At some point, this group sitting right down here on the front row are going to sit down and talk with a prospective pastor. If they have to say to him, man, since Pastor Philip left, things are just falling apart. We've got to have help, and we've got to have help now. That speaks a message to him. If they can say to him, things are doing pretty well, that speaks to him. If they can say, we've even grown a little bit since our last pastor left, that's an encouragement to him. Hey, you know, maybe I want to get in on that good stuff. Your attitude, your faithfulness, your giving, your prayers are going to make a difference in what takes place as this committee looks for a pastor. In the book of Acts, I'm just going to read a verse or two. You can turn there if you want or don't have to. But in Acts 13, as I ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. God specifically chose two men for ministry. And the church fasted, prayed, laid their hands on them, and sent them out. Now, we're not sending these folks off to start a church somewhere, but we are, in a sense, sending them out to look for a pastor. We're sending them out on a mission to accomplish a purpose that's so vitally important for the next 10 years in this life of this church. And because of that, we want to make some commitments. They wanted to make a commitment to you. And we want you to make a commitment to them. So if you flip over to the second page in that little booklet, the Search Committee Covenant. And I'm going to ask this committee to stand here and read together out loud to you, and you just listen to the commitment that they're making to you. Lionel, if you'll lead them in reading that, y'all will just stand. Y'all can be seated. On the next page, you have a covenant that you as a church make to this committee. Would you stand and read that with me? Trusting wholly in God's grace, we covenant to pray for you fervently, daily, and specifically. We covenant to pray the specific biblical prayers as God's Spirit directs our heart. We covenant to respect your sacred commission and support you in your work. We covenant to let you do your work without manipulation or pressure. We covenant to trust God to guide your deliberations, steps, and timing for His will. We covenant to guard the bond of peace to the glory of Jesus Christ in His church. To Him be all glory and praise in His church. Can you be seated? Now, over here on the wall is the covenant that you've just declared to this committee. When the service is over, if you meant that, sign your name on one of those lines. You know, don't jump up now, but when the service is over, go by and sign your name. And every time you look at that for the next several weeks, you'll be reminded, I made a commitment to pray for this people, this group, this committee. Now, on the next two pages, covenant prayers for the pastor search committee, and covenant prayers for the congregation. There's 10 of one and 7 of the other. Would you pray those prayers? As I said, put this with your Bible or your devotional materials. And you can do it anyway. You can pray all 17 of them the same day. I suspect that's going to be a little much for some of you. You may just pray one a day for 17 days. You may pray two a day or three a day. However you want to do it. But there's some scriptures for each one. And spend some time praying. That church in Antioch didn't just say, oh, okay, guys, good luck. We'll be thinking about you. It says they prayed for them. They prayed for them. And as they prayed for them, you know, Paul and Barnabas accomplished some great things. And as you pray for this committee on a regular basis, God will begin to do some things that will be a blessing in the life of this church. You'll be remembering them. You'll be lifting them up. They'll be praying for you. They'll be praying for the church. And there, one of them, like number 8 under the pastor search, pray that the future pastor and his family have absolute certainty in their sense of call to our church. He must know he has God's direction. You want somebody that's here because he knows this is where God wants him. You don't want him here just thinking about, you know, they paid more than the last church. Or I'm here because I had to get out of Dodge. A preacher will understand that better maybe than you do. You will. You know, you want him here because he knows in his heart this is where God wants him. There's sometimes in my ministry when the only way I could get up and stay in that particular church was that I knew God put me there. I wanted to be anywhere else. Chaplain of a Boy Scout troop would have been better. But I knew I was where God wanted me. And folks, that's the kind of man you want in your pulpit. A man that knows where he is, and he's there because God put him there. And his wife knowing the same thing. Somewhere, God's preparing a man's heart already. He may not even know, but somewhere, God's preparing his heart. As you pray, and the Holy Spirit speaks to this group, he's also speaking to a pastor and a pastor's family somewhere. He may be younger, middle-aged, or older, but God's speaking. And as God speaks, he needs to be hearing. And they need to be hearing. And they need to be hearing together. You don't want a pastor that they voted on 3-2. You want a pastor that they all said, "This is God's man for our place." They've made a commitment to you. You've made a commitment to them. And may that commitment be a commitment that leads to unity, peace, and growth at Barbers Grove Baptist Church. It says that they fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them. I'm going to go by and take each one of their hand and pray for them. And as I pray for them, you pray for them. Sister Rita, may the Holy Spirit give you great anointing, wisdom, peace, understanding as you fulfill the task that God has given to you as a part of this committee. Sister Gail, may you sense the leadership of the Holy Spirit. May you have the wisdom that he gives, the understanding that comes from heaven as you fulfill the role and the obligations that God has laid upon you. Jeffrey, Brother Jeffrey, seek the Lord. Seek his guidance. Seek his understanding. May his anointing fall upon you as you fulfill the role God has called you to do. Brother Lionel, you've assumed the role of the leader of this group. May you have divine wisdom and understanding. May you have peace. May you have joy. May you point this committee in the right direction with the leadership and direction that only God can give. May you receive inspiration straight from heaven. Brother McCord, fulfill the job, the role that God has given you with great wisdom, great understanding. Lord, may the years of his experience bring added wisdom in these moments and in the committee deliberations. May he see and hear things and sense things that perhaps come straight from the throne of God. Brother Wes, God has given you so many abilities, so many talents. May his anointing be yours in a very special way as you participate and guide and seek and lead. May your direction be a vital part of what goes on. May you have the insight as you talk with a man, his family, to know exactly what God would lead this group, this church to do. And Father, even as I pray for this committee, I pray for the members of this church to have divine wisdom and discernment, to have a prayerful heart, to seek not their will but yours. For Father, I know that 50 people here would have 50 different opinions as to what the next pastor should be like. But God, you have a man. And I pray, Father, that you might give the unity and the peace and the understanding to this church. As they seek that man, give them patience, give them understanding, give them direction. And Father, may that man, wherever he is, whether across the county or across the nation, have his heart prepared for where he needs to be and when he needs to be at this place of worship. And Father, I thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit to be our teacher, our guide, our leader. And that we don't do this in our own understanding or our own wisdom, but there is a divine power from heaven that will lead us in the direction that you choose. And as you lead, may we follow, that you might receive the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can go back to your seats if you'd like. Seriously, I pray that you will take these prayers home with you, that you will sign this, you'll take these prayers home with you. You'll pray for these folks. Not leave them out on an island, all alone. It's not fair to them to say, you got the wrong man, if you didn't pray for them. The Lord's Supper is a reminder of God's love for us. You know, the New Testament folks got a bad reputation because the ungodly heathen world didn't understand what was going on, and they called them love feast. They thought something really weird was going on. But the Lord's Supper is a reminder of our love for one another. Singing the little chorus, we are one in the bond of love. One in the bond of love. And when we come to the Lord's table, it's a reminder. We are one in the bond of love. I still remember, you remember a couple of weeks ago I said something about I went to a class reunion, high school class reunion. I still remember the first one we had. It was our 20th year after we'd graduated, and they had a class reunion. And I was sitting in my study at the church there at Prospect and got a phone call from a class member who was helping to put together this 20th class reunion for 20 years. And this lady said something to me that put my internal temperature way beyond boiling point. Now, I didn't say anything. You know, I was cool, calm, and collected. But I wanted to reach through the phone and just, you know, shake her. Here's what she said to me. She said, Ed, well, first she asked me about some classmates and if I knew how to get in touch with certain ones. And then she said to me, we can't reach most of the classmates from North Albemarle and West Albemarle elementary schools, but they don't count and they don't matter anyway. Hey, she was talking about me. She was talking about Ruth. You know, we grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. Our parents and grandparents worked at American and Eford or Wiscasset or All Star Mills or Page Church Furniture, but they were good folks. Most of them honest folks. They went to church. But folks, we weren't rich. And in her eyes, you know, the kids that went to Central and to East Albemarle, whose moms and dads were the doctors and the lawyers and the business owners, they were better than we were. We weren't accepted. I mean, you know, if a girl was really beautiful, she might get sort of in with that group. Or if a guy was a really great athlete, he might get sort of in with that group. But you know, they were the elite and we weren't accepted. Did the devil ever tell you that you weren't accepted? That you weren't good enough to be a believer? That you weren't good enough to be a Christian? That you'd messed up too much? I love what Paul writes to the Ephesians, and I'm just going to read to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, or the beloved. Aren't you glad this is a reminder that you are accepted in Jesus? Think about it. If you had to be born on the right side of the tracks to be a Christian, some of us wouldn't make it, would we? If we had to give a lot of money, some of us wouldn't make it. If we had to be good looking, some of us wouldn't make it. If we had to have a high IQ, some of us wouldn't make it. if we had to be white or black or red or yellow or whatever, some wouldn't make it. But Paul writes to the Christians there in Ephesus and says, we are accepted in the Beloved. And it's to the praise of the glory of His grace. It's His grace. And He receives the glory. That Jesus died on the cross and gave His blood, gave His life, that all who believe in Him might be forgiven and have eternal life. Accepted in the Beloved. Praise God for that. You may have been born on the wrong side of the tracks. You may have been a great sinner. It doesn't matter. You are accepted in Jesus. Accepted in Jesus. Accepted in Jesus. And we can't go around saying, well, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, you know, He's got to let me in. No, it's just saying, thank you, Jesus. I wasn't worthy, I don't deserve it, but You saved me anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Accepted in the Beloved. And when you come to the Lord's table, be so grateful. So grateful. So thankful. That it's a symbol that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. God gave that you might live with Him for all of eternity. Thank God that you're accepted in the Beloved. I don't worry about being born on the wrong side of the tracks. For Jesus loves me, this I know. The Bible tells me so. Y'all will come.